Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, Earthlings. Welcome, my invisible friends and visitors from this and other galaxies. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. I was relaxing in the sauna in the saucer pod earlier. It accommodates two if they sit close together, which I didn't have to concern myself with because I'm alone. It's one of the perks of the ship, of which there are many. You might wonder, if you knew of everything the ship includes, how it could be possible that it could contain so many things. It seems much smaller. Well, the maestros of the technology that created this ship are able to accomplish things that we on this planet can't even dream of. Speaking of being alone, I often wonder at the amount of listeners who drop by for the broadcast. I'm told there are many over the course of a week, but I seldom hear from anyone. It's odd given the amount of feedback that comes at the blogs. Is there an echo in here? And speaking of being alone, I have, across recent times, been experiencing the most unusual events of a singular nature, having to do with slander directed at me by individuals I have no kind of relationship with. In some cases, it seems it is precisely for that reason. As I said over at the blogs, it used to be that I played a part in being responsible for altercations with others, if only because I played the situation wrong. But every recent event over more than last year has nothing to do with anything I did, and the only time I can understand that is, or the only way I can understand it, is when it turns out to be something I didn't do, and I don't, well, what I mean is I don't understand it. Said that backwards, I think. Anyway, today or yesterday, I was informed by a friend that someone who had recently abused him was now abusing me. I made the grave mistake of not being accommodating enough with her impressive desire for a significant other, and she freaked out on me without my ever mentioning her or directing anything at her. I simply mentioned how things were for me in these times, and it set her off. I stopped reading soon, very quickly into the email, as I always do in those cases when people start to rant in a hysterical fashion out of all proportion to the nothing that was going on. And I got a handful more emails from the same source, and those I didn't read either, and then they ceased. Then today I got a link in the mail to a blog where I am the subject of discussion with this woman and the blog owner, who is writing under assumed name. I had a falling out with him some time ago because he was going to do something, and I assumed he was doing it and never said otherwise, and a lot of time passed, and then I came to find out he hadn't done it, and there was just some disappointment. It wasn't any big deal. But he got massively offended for some reason and went on his way to make a public dialogue out of it for reasons I am still perplexed about. I thought we had worked that out. I'm mystified at the odd things that go on. There's a point to all this, folks, you'll see. I mean, I hope there is. People are generally closer to the margins of being insane than I've ever seen before. The amount of people on edge, the amount of people that overreact, the level of tension that I observe in people is dramatic. I was noticing these things in the U.S. even before I left there. It was especially so in Hawaii with the California types, and more especially so with the female side. After studying the matter and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that this was all being caused by a shift in the subtle energies of the planets and the sun and moon in their interplay. The resulting force as a significant change from what it had been, well, it was significant and is significant, and people are unable to change or accommodate this. In other words, they were resisting the impulse coming from higher planes because the force of their natural nature, material nature, was stronger than their spiritual nature. Now, this made a lot of sense to me, given that Hawaii is a very hedonistic location for many people who go there for just that reason. Though there are sincere spiritual individuals there, it is also a location where what I call spiritual materialists like to congregate, those being the touchy-feely New Age community, where everyone is a god or a goddess, regardless of their shortcomings, which have been magically transformed into virtues. There are communities all over the place these days where individuals of this type are worshipped by people unable to pat their head and chew gum at the same time. Which is not the worst thing, I guess, because if they weren't able to chew gum, well, there's no telling what the consequences might be. I'm trying to puzzle out why I've been running into the kinds of behavior I'm encountering from people that I don't know well enough to have any kind of relationship with at all, good or bad. And then I think about people who occasionally make nasty comments, exhibiting the state of their troubled lives, and I figure that the majority of people cannot handle what has arrived on the scene, and will certainly not be able to handle what is going to follow. The level of collective tension is going up. It may have nothing to do with me personally. It may not be about that at all. It's just me getting my share of the fallout that is coming down everywhere. In a way, it's like all those police who have lately been killing citizens for the slimmest of reasons, and no reason at all sometimes. They most likely don't know themselves why they have done it. Everyone handles stress differently. And if you happen to carry a gun at the same time, well, do the math. It's becoming more and more clear to me that what I am seeing is real. It's the same thing that is causing politicians to do crazy things. It's what's affecting the minds of school teachers and principals in the schools. It's what's causing all these domestic incidents and riots at discount stores. Materialism is a form of insanity. There can be no question of that, and there is nothing more resistant to spiritual force than materialism. Life is change, and the change in life is initiated by unseen energies that manifest out of the rubbing together of the planets in concert with the sun and moon. The cosmos that we see in the sky is like an enormously large and complicated clock. It is mathematically programmed to move through planes of being as the constellations move and turn, and as the planets pass through the astrological houses and signs. You can think of it as being like a very, very long symphony composed of countless movements, each of which is representative of a cosmic state of being and awareness. Every individual, in fact, most individuals, are not in sync with this, and this causes stress, and the stress acts out through each of us through the weakest link in our chains, so to speak. That last sentence is pregnant with multiple potential meanings. So I'm starting to get a clear picture of why these things are happening, and of course, they are not happening just to me. We often get subjective about these things. We think it's being done to us. We're having a run of bad luck, or maybe it's caused by the people we are associating with. It's caused by where we're living. It's caused by our job or something. What's causing it is the music of the planets rubbing together and the individual actions of all the people who can't handle it acting out in their individual ways due to the pressure. In the job that I do every day, even though I am at pains to admit that I don't know, I probably come across as being too self-assured to people who lack all sense of personal assurance. I probably come across as knowing far too much to people who don't know very much and resent that fact. A lot of people say nice things about me, and I know people resent that, and they especially resent the fact that no matter what happens in my life, I keep bouncing back with an optimistic perspective and putting a positive spin on everything. There are a lot of people out there who come close to getting off at the news of someone failing. It makes them feel better about the failure in their own lives. I chalk all of this up to people relying on themselves to handle everything that comes at them. Of course, in most cases, they are relying on someone who simply isn't up to the task. I don't rely on myself for these things, and that is why I am able to bounce back. My optimistic nature is not my own. It is something that has been gifted to me as a result of my loving the divine. If you love the divine, you make it possible for the love that the divine bears you, the love that the divine bears all of us. You make it possible for the love of the divine to have a positive effect on you. In many cases, the love from the divine is not allowed to have a positive effect because of our negative mindset. You can't help those who won't be helped. There seems to be no good reason for someone who has no money and who has closed out of the areas of their particular industry, like myself, someone who has been through constant states of calamity with only brief periods of respite. It seems so unlikely that such a person would have of such a positive state of mind. This is only one of the blessings of divine communications and having contact with the divine. And make no mistake, we're all in contact with the divine, we're just not all aware of it. The more one wholeheartedly seeks the divine and puts into practice those things they have learned in the pursuit of the divine, the more one takes upon themselves the qualities of the divine. This process is generally a long, long process that often, very often, spans a number of lifetimes. It doesn't have to. It can happen in one lifetime. It can definitely happen in this lifetime, because the times in which this life is taking place are some of the most fortunate times for that sort of thing. And that is why the challenge of attempting to do so is so difficult. Being surrounded by materialists in a material world and with few places left for one to disappear into and fewer less where one can feed and maintain themselves, unless they are gifted that way or have that blessing where they are fed by luminous creatures in the desert, or where pie in the sky becomes pie in the hand, and more people have that than think they do, because sometimes, in a very pedestrian fashion, and people don't recognize it as a blessing, it comes, and it comes regularly to many of us, and we don't see it as such. How sad. This is why we are meant to train ourselves to see everything as a blessing. Here's an image for you. Nearly all of us, with very few exceptions, are to some degree trapped and entangled in this world. Think of it as being caught in the middle of a large briar bush with impressive thorns. You can't disentangle yourself, and when you try to, it hurts. Let's say that you know that you cannot do this on your own, and you attempt to rely on the divine to do it. Do you imagine that the divine will extricate you from this briar patch of entanglements without pain? Sure, that's possible for the rare soul who has attained to a state where they do not struggle at all, but that is usually not me and you. In most cases, we resist the efforts of our liberator, and we also extend the amount of time it takes for us to be liberated, and none of us that are not at that place where we do not resist at all are able to maintain a sustained state of progress, so there are periods of dormancy where we spend our time fed up or disappointed, throw our hands up in the air and say, screw it, and in some cases become antagonistic to our liberator, whom we believe is torturing and tormenting us on purpose. I know that feeling. Sometimes the things we get put through just make no sense whatsoever. That makes me think this minute about gratitude. I am very grateful that I am not these people obsessed with the need to attack me with slander that they have to fabricate in order to make a case because there really is no case. I think how wonderful it is that I'm not involved in what they are involved in. I think how wonderful it is that I am the one stolen from and not the one stealing. I think how wonderful it is that my heart is not filled with rage, resentment, and desire for vengeance. The truth is, I never even think about these things happening to me until someone comes along and brings it to my attention. That doesn't last very long, and it would already be gone except for its relevance to this broadcast. I am grateful for these things. I am grateful that my dreams are not about schemes to make money. I need money no less than anyone else, but I am grateful that the fear for and concern about it does not rule my life. I am subject potentially to all of the infirmities and weaknesses that anyone can be victimized by, but they do not occupy my mind. I am so grateful for that. I do not think to myself that I wish there were someone I could fall in love with, because there is someone I have fallen in love with and love more than any person I could ever love, and who is responsible for whatever amount of love I will ever feel for anyone. I am grateful that at night when I lie in bed, automatically I start speaking to my Creator, or more specifically, one who works for my Creator and who has me as one of his assigned tasks. I'm grateful for the work that I get to do, and even for being able to do it for an absolute minimum of return, temporarily speaking, because you see, everyone and everything is a blessing if you have the necessary eyes, and you get those eyes in the mills of suffering. You get them from the crucible of earthly pain. Although I am grateful, I am nowhere near as grateful as I should be, because I do not see all of what I should be grateful for. I should have no fear and no apprehension of any kind, something along the lines of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, etc. We must visualize that great teacher, master, prophet who has captivated our hearts and imagination and seek to emulate that being. We must have someone to emulate, to grow like, to become like. The process, as I said, can take a while. It is like walking up a slight incline that goes a long, long way. You hardly know that you are ascending, but at some point you turn and look back and you see that a vastness stretched out before you. It's hard to believe that you have come so far. For many, and especially in the initial stages, it can seem quite a labor to lie about this kind of work. One must develop a love for it. Only love, only a real passion will free you from the idea that it is a labor rather than a joy. Remember, desire is the agent of God's will. This is one of the incredible joys of true selflessness, where you can lose yourself entirely in what you do. People seldom realize what a burden they carry of themselves until the years begin to weigh them down. A time comes for many people when they long for death as much as they fear it. Yet when it comes, they hold out so tightly to what they cannot keep or remain within. This is the cause of so much fear and suffering, and all of it is unnecessary. Oh, well, my friends, which without even, I've gone on long, I didn't realize. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. I wish you the very best of the very best of all that life has to offer, and the unquenchable desire to realize it, along with the protections of all necessary angels to the completion of your rounds. That said, greetings, my dear friend Lord Ganesha. Much love, Lady Nature. Hare Krishna. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Om Amitabha. La ilaha il allahu. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Me. Crystal apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. It's rising into view just like the sun. It's bringing living truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.